Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome to Reign in Love Ministries. This is your host, Overseer Tim Jackson. Amen. It's a blessing to be here. I'm with Watchman on the Wall. Amen. God has blessed us to be still in the land of the living. I am grateful. Amen. I know that the brother is grateful for it as well. We're going to go ahead and get into the word today. Amen. We're going to talk about,
amen.
Basically, amen, the return of Christ. Amen. We're going to talk about the rapture. Amen. And that the church, amen, the church has to preach this message. They have to wake people up. People are so concerned about just getting back to norm. Amen. Normal is done. Amen. We're about to go into a new age, a thousand-year millennial reign. But before the thousand-year millennial reign takes place, amen, what's going to happen? The great tribulation. The great tribulation is what's going to happen here soon. Amen. We just want, amen, the church to be, amen, just to be ready for the return, amen, of our Lord and Savior. Amen. So that, amen, we just want everyone to get ready and to be prepared for the return of Christ. Amen. This is what we're going to be talking about. Amen. So, amen, I'm excited to be here. Amen. I know that the Watchman on the Wall is excited to be here. Amen. And so, amen. So I got to say this, amen. It's definitely been on my mind. Amen. I got to say this. And I say this because I was just talking to the brother earlier today. And God has blessed him with a great gift of preaching God's word. Amen. The knowledge that he has. Amen. I tell you right now, it's like I don't get over the fact that this brother has a lot of Bible knowledge. Amen. And when I say a lot of Bible knowledge, amen, from what I can see, the brother has a lot of knowledge in God's word. And it is just a shock to me, a shock. Amen, that he's been told, amen, we don't want you to preach here. Amen, we can't have you preaching that. Amen, but I can relate to him. Amen, because I've heard the same thing. Amen, I've heard the same talk. Amen, where people don't want you to say certain things in the church. Amen, certain things are prohibited. Amen, and so I can tell you one thing.
Come on, preacher.
You know, a lot of the church is going to really, really, really miss out. And I say the church. Notice I didn't say the saved. I said the church. There are a lot of people that are just in church, and I sit there and tell you right now, that's all they're doing. They're just going to church. They're not saved. They're not teaching or preaching love. Amen.
Come
you
on, preacher.
The leadership of most churches, amen. I'm on my sandbox, and I'm on my soapbox. You know, I have to get on my soapbox every now and then. And today I'm on one because, excuse me, amen. You see so many preachers and pastors so ready to get back to normal. Christ is about to change everything. This age that we live in now,
come on,
that
preacher.
Satan has enjoyed for 6,000 years. Was about to come to an end, and folks can't even see him. Your everyday churchgoers can't even see him, but they got the Bible. They read out the same Bible that we read out of, and like
come
the brother said, amen. Most people are not even studying the Bible. You know what I was thinking about, brother? Today, I was thinking about how when my grandmother, people were to me, I think the people in the church, because what's funny is. The new people who are getting saved, they're reading and studying. They want to know what's going on. But this past generation that's been to church for the past 30, 40 plus years, they don't even read the Bible. The only time they pick up Bible is when they go to church.
No more.
Amen. They don't read the Bible no more. I remember
no,
when I was
they don't
a
read
kid,
it,
my grandma used to, no. She used to, all, amen, bro, they're not reading the Bible. My
good
grandma
housekeeping
used to say, amen. I remember when I was a kid, my grandmother used to say how she reads the Bible every night before she goes to bed. See, that's how the old school saints were. Amen. These are people who were born in the early 1900s. Most of the people have gone on. You don't see people like that no more.
No, you
don't. Amen, brother. Now the new grandmothers want to be like the daughter. They want to go to clubs. They want to shake and twerk. They want to dress skimpy. That's the grandmothers now. Amen. And not all
come on,
not all of them. But your grandmother now won't even pick up the Bible and read and study it. Won't even pick it up and they just as religious as I don't know what. Meaning that they'll go to church, they may pay their tithes, they'll do all that. They'll go to church, pay their tithes. They're religious. Don't get me wrong, paying your tithes is a good thing. But you got to read the Bible. The Bible says study to show thyself. In other words, study to show yourself. You got to prove this thing. Not us. It ain't us. It ain't just left up to your preacher or your pastor to read the Bible all the time. And you don't never want to read the Bible. You don't never
come on,
want to pray the word. You don't know nothing about the Bible. You don't know nowhere. You've been in church all your life. And I told you all before, that's what started me on my journey to study and reading the Bible. Because I was young, and I would ask people who were older than me, I would ask them questions about the Bible, and they had no knowledge, none. I mean, could not answer no questions for me. And I could not understand it for the life. I was like, how is it that you've been in church all these years? And these were no complicated questions. There were no revelation questions. These were questions that you would think a person that had been in church at least 10 to 20 years could answer. And I said, man, you can't, you don't know the answer to the question. No. I said, Lord, have mercy. Hey, man. I said, Lord, have mercy. So I said to myself, you know what? I'm not going to rely on nobody to answer the question about the Bible anymore.
Come on.
I'm gonna study it for myself. And if I have a question, and then don't get me wrong, I do have people that I mentor on the still today that I have questions for. You and all, because nobody knows everything. But man,
no.
I shouldn't say this brother's been blessed with biblical knowledge, and I have to say this. Beg my pardon for saying this. It's a shame to the so-called preachers that have told this man, you know, I don't want you preaching that in my church. You're not welcome here. It is a shame to let such Bible knowledge. And to me, the brother's a Bible scholar, because I can ask this brother something. And I tell you, I mean, he could be in the Old Testament or the New Testament. It's like the brother has studied it or he knows something about it. And I said, man, I ain't never met nobody like that. Because most people you ask questions to, that's been, I'm talking about preaching longer than I have, they ain't got an answer for nothing you say. You know, and it's a shame.
Lord,
we live in a world where people have itching ears. They're not interested in the truth. They're not interested in learning the word. They're not interested in knowing what's going to happen. All they care about is a name for themselves. How much money can we get into the church?
Come on, preacher. Come on, preacher.
I mean, just in my personal opinion, just nonsense. You know, that's what people are looking for now. They're not looking for the truth. They're not looking for what does the word say. They're not looking to show love and to save souls. And that's what I got a problem with your church today. That's why I stopped going to your everyday traditional church, because all people want to do is, we're going to have a dinner. We're going to have, they just looking for events in the church. The church has become entertainment.
Come on, preacher.
Maybe I'm on my soapbox a little too hard. We having church anniversaries and pastor and wife anniversaries. I'm not saying there's anything
the
wrong
truth.
With that.
Tell the truth.
But if this is just my thing. If you've been having church anniversaries for 30, 40, 50 years, your church should be full. You should be saving some souls. Somebody should be getting saved. Somebody come through that church and coming out of them doors in 40, 50 years should be receiving salvation. But if we only got a handful of people in the church, why are we raising all this money? And I'm talking about many churches I've been to in the past. Many churches. Some I won't ever understand. Amen. Let me get off my soapbox. Let's move on. Amen. I know I've taken some time, but I think I still
got a little
time.
That's all right, brother. That's all right.
Amen. Amen, brother. The Spirit laid that on my heart. Because, brother, when I tell you, man, folks, you know, all they care about is a name. It ain't about your name. Your name is not going to get you into heaven.
Joe,
if you ever preach, amen, if you ever preach a nonsense, amen, I got to say this. Amen, if you really think that you're going to preach that the gift of God has to be worked for, how can you work for a gift? A gift is something that is free. You cannot work for a gift. That's why, let me go on over here and show you some scripture, because, you know, a lot of times I don't want nobody to say he's making up stuff. I say, yeah, well, man, I tell people, I've been saying this for 20 years. You'll never say I made up anything. I'm going to show you some scripture. Go over to St. John, the third chapter. You already know where I'm going. St. John, the third chapter, verses 15 and 16. I got to read it to you. It says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. This is a gift. It's a gift. Salvation is a gift. But people want to put a price tag on salvation.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Salvation is free. All you have to do is accept it. It is a free gift. And if you think that you're going to work your way into heaven, man, you're going to get a rude awakening when the trumpet sounds on. You're going to be still left here on this earth. And you're going to go through the tribulation.
Amen.
You're going to be left here. If you think after the rapture, you're going to be still looking funny. Let's just say it. You're going to be here looking funny. You're going to be wondering, well, why I didn't go? Why am I here? Because it's nonsense that you believe that. And I'm going to stay on that for as long as I preach, because as long as people are going to be silly enough to say it, and not study and read the Bible to find out the truth what the Bible says, I'm going to continue to preach it. And I'm going to continue to pull up scriptures and research more scriptures to support what we teach and what we say, because we ain't making up anything. This is a free gift. And again, you can't – amen. But you know, you got some folks that say, oh, no, brother, there ain't no – yes, it is a gift. Romans, the fifth chapter, verses 15 through 18. Let me show you something. Romans, the fifth chapter, amen, verses 15 through 18. This is what it says. Watch what it says. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace. Now, what do you think that Paul is writing about here? He's only talking about one thing. Let me finish reading. Which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. He did what I couldn't do, what Elder Bazaar couldn't do, what Brother Derek couldn't do, what Moses, Noah, all the prophets, Paul, all the saints, the Old Testament, the saints of recent here out my prayer, he did what no man could do. He died for your sin. But watch what verse 16 says. Don't take my word for it. Take the Bible for it.
Come on.
Take the Bible for it. And it said, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many over. It ain't your sins that's going to take you to the lake of fire. It's going to be your sin of disbelief. Because you don't believe that once saved, always saved. Because you don't believe that Christ died for your sins is good enough to put you into heaven. Because you have made the decision to reject God. That's what's going to take you to the lake of fire. Not your offenses of what you do daily. We all sin daily. We can't escape sin. Paul said I was what? Caught or sold under sin. I believe he said that in Romans. I believe that's the 7th chapter where he said that. Yep. Romans, he said that. Romans 7, so read, go read. He said, I will call him. He said, that thing that I hate doing, I find myself doing. Don't that sound familiar? Yes, it does, because we all sin every day. That thing that I hate doing, somehow I find myself doing. But that thing that I love, I find myself not doing. In other words, I find myself not reading the Bible as much as I need to, not studying God's word as much as I need to, not showing enough love, not being humble enough. That's all of us. You know, they don't just point the finger at me. I'm just willing to admit it. But you got some of these preachers, and I said this in church one time, but these pastors looked at me like crazy. You should have saw. Because these preachers want to act like they live in a glass house. Man, let me sit there and tell you, ain't none of us walking around with no sin. With the Bible, all your righteousness as still as filthy rags. In other words, and all your righteousness that you'll try to bring before God is still stank. Not stink, it's stank. So if you think you're going to get into heaven, Bob, based off of your work, the Bible says that all your righteousness is as filthy rags. So you're going to mean to tell me, you're going to have the nerve to go before the God of creation, the God of all, the author and creator of all things, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. You're going to take him, your works, when Paul already said, and all your righteousness is as filthy rags. There's no God looks at you like you crazy and say, you're going to hell. Let's just go on and just think you're going to the lake of fire is where you're going. If you think you're going to get into heaven based off of your words, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. You do. Your salvation Christ already took care of 1,000 years on the cross. All you got to do is confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. The Bible said, brother, I'm sorry. I'm going to turn it over to you.
Go ahead, brother.
The Bible says, thou, amen, brother, the Spirit is dealing with me. Amen. I'm on my soapbox, man. Man, I'm telling you, I'm on my soapbox. The Bible says, thou shalt be saved. Just that plain and simple. But you got some folks that won't even pick up the Bible and study the Bible. Now, people pick up the books, and they'll watch TV for hours. They'll study for school for hours.
Yeah,
they're going to get degrees. But when it comes to your soul, people study stuff for their jobs and tests and all this. But when it comes to your eternal salvation, in other words, what's more important? Christ said, only what you do for me shall last. So, in other words, is your job that important? No.
Come on.
Is you getting a degree that important? No. Are you exercising and trying out for a team that important? No. Ain't nothing more important than God. Then why do people neglect to pick up the Bible that tells you how to get into the kingdom of heaven? Because, see, I don't care who you are, what your name is, all your worldly accolades are going to die with you in the ground. You think we care about somebody who lived 100 to 200 years ago that was great? No, we can care less about them. What they did don't mean nothing to me. It don't. Oh, what they did, well, that's them. I don't care. Yeah, you may use electricity. Yeah, you may use power. But, you know, at the end of the day, do we have to have that stuff to live? No. We don't have to live thousands of years before all this stuff came about. So it don't mean nothing to me. We can live with all this stuff. If they can live 5,000 years ago without it, we can live today without it.
Come on.
Only what you do for Christ shall last. But you want to
read
the Bible, the very Bible that can put you into eternal life and understand it. That's why I had to leave the church. Because I got so sick and tired of a bunch of foolishness, fish fries, gatherings, and they care nothing about the young people. They care nothing about people's souls. They care nothing about the old folks, giving folks in church money that don't need it. Young Abel, but I'm like, why are we giving these folks $800? Why is this person getting money? This person ain't saving no souls. I mean, I'm just saying, why are we getting that? Why are we just... I got so sick and tired of the cliques and oh, us over here, y'all over there. Brother, let me go ahead and turn over to you. I'm on my soapbox, brother.
You're on your soapbox. I understand.
But let me finish reading 16, 17, and 18, and I'm going to give it over to you, brother. And then when you give it back to me, brother, we're going to continue this because I want to talk about what's about to happen. Christ, the King is coming. You better get ready. You can play all you want to, and the fact that more big-time preachers ain't preaching about, the more that your pastor and your church ain't talking about, is confirmation that Christ is getting ready to come back. Because he said to watch. And guess what people ain't doing? They ain't watching at all. He said, because I come as a thief in the night. And this is why he's going to come as a thief in the night and sneak up on you because ain't nobody telling the world about it.
Ooh.
Let me finish reading verse 16. It says, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense, death reigned by one. Much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Man, y'all better know what the Bible said. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. What do you think he's talking about? Is this thing he's talking about my life? Or no, it's talking about your eternal life. That's what the scripture is talking about. It is a free gift. You cannot work for salvation. And that's why when preachers preach that nonsense, I get on them. I'll show them scriptures, and they looking funny, and they can't show me one scripture, not one scripture to support that stuff that they teach. Not one.
Come on.
Because you want to know
why?
I stand with the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of God, and you can't come against God. Not me.
No, you can't.
I'm just showing you what God's word says. Now, it's a free gift. Now, you're going to sit there and tell me you're going to work for something that's free? I ain't never heard nothing like that. If somebody told you they're going to give you $1 million, oh, no, let me work for that million. I'm going to give it to you for free. Why are you working for? Brother, go ahead and say a prayer. Amen. Brother, go ahead and say a prayer and get it started, brother. Amen.
Lord Jesus, bless right now. Bless this program in the name of Jesus, Lord. Bless Brother
yes,
Tim and his unction and his yearning to explain the word of God to those that are lost and to those that are saved. And let them know you must work out your own salvation. Fear and tremble before God. In the word it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. It says, be consistent with your salvation. We ask you right now, bless this program, Lord, and we ask you, anoint it in the power of the Holy Ghost. And let us preach the gospel in the season. When they don't want to hear it, when they want to hear it, preach it until you say it's enough. That's what we're going to do. We ask you right now to go with each and every one of us in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, both now and forever, in Jesus' name. Amen. Woo, brother, you're hot.
Amen.
I know you're on fire. You're on fire because you know one thing. You know one thing. The King is coming back to this earth.
Come on, doctor.
What's the problem? They don't want to hear it. They ain't got time for this. But let me see.
Come on,
there's a time
doctor.
For this season. There's a time for every season, in season and out of season. Busy doing nothing, going around in circles, trying to find happiness, trying to find joy, trying to find a way to escape what's getting ready to come up on this earth. And the Bible says there's only one escape. And that escape is through who? The Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Don't you know? Don't you know? Don't you know? If it wasn't for Jesus Christ, God's Son, God in the flesh, came down here and died for humanity. If he wouldn't have did that, don't you know every soul that's born in the human race wouldn't be fit for heaven? Everybody would go to hell if it wasn't for the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. I don't know the devil. See, the devil don't like that because he knows. The devil know more than the human race does, but he don't know more than God. The devil's a powerful cherubim, and he's got power, but his power is limited. God is all power. Oh, my. What does it take for you to figure out how the sun rises in the morning? How much does it take for you to figure out how the moon can stand in the sky and don't move?
Amen.
And just shine? How do you think the moon gets the sunlight? The reflection of the sun shines on the moon at night, and the sun is a billion miles away from the moon, but you see the moon taking its quarter. How do you believe that the stars are hanging on nothing, the earth is hanging on nothing, and spinning around 17 miles a second? Good God Almighty, what kind of power do you think can control that? And the world's looking around, where is God? Woo! Well, God is everywhere, so ain't no excuse for you going around here thinking you don't have a responsibility, and your greatest responsibility, listen to me, your greatest responsibility is to know Jesus Christ. That's your greatest responsibility. And folks today, church folks, club folks, gambling folks, want to try to live their own life the way they want to live it. And thank God is going to sit on his throne and look down in it and clap his hand. Well, he's not clapping his hand. He's not clapping. God is not clapping his hand. And he's not shouting all over heaven. The only time I believe he shouts is when one soul comes in.
Amen.
On this side of the world or on the other side. God, the angels don't even shout until what? One soul come in. Now, how do you think I feel? Amen. If I can get one soul. How do you think Brother Tim can feel if he get one soul in to save that soul from the damnations of hell? Because let me tell you something, you can laugh, you can joke, you can croak, you can run up and down the road thinking everything going to be all right, but let me tell you, if you miss heaven, you will be the sorriest person on the face of this earth, man, going
Amen.
To hell. Don't get me wrong, we don't hate nobody out there, what we hate is hate Satan. We hate what he's doing. I hate the way he's damning people's souls because they won't come to the cross. Oh, like you said, the brother said, they'll go to church. Shoot. Some people go to church like they're going to a beauty parlor. Some go like they're going down there and playing pool. Some just go because they've been going so long and having their fun and ain't really suffering for Christ. Amen. They ain't suffering for Christ. The Bible says if you live godly, if you live righteous, you're going to suffer. And people who hang around other people talking about their Christians and do a whole lot of old shucking and jiving and talk all filthy. Oh, my Lord, have mercy. Sometimes some of the true saints get to talking filthy. Some of the ones that ain't saints, they're ain'ts. And they call themselves saints. But see, what's going on with the world today is, I'm going to read it right out the Bible. I want you to get your Bibles out. Turn to 2 Thessalonians, 2nd chapter. This is what's going to happen in the last days. Just before Christ comes back.
Amen.
He's coming back. What he's coming back after? He's coming after a church. Ecclesiastes, called out ones. You're in the world, but you're not of the world. You don't participate in the evils of the world. You cannot serve two masters. Come on now. You can't serve the devil and serve God at the same time. You can't serve God today and call yourself saved, and you out there partying and jamming and committing fornication and lying and cheating and gambling and all that stuff, and then come to church Sunday talking about I'm saved. No, you don't get saved on Sunday. Salvation is free.
That's right.
Don't come telling me. I know too much about it, because when the Lord called me out of the darkness into the marvelous light, I have no desire to go back. I'm not going back. I don't care what the count may be. You can talk about me, lie on it. You can scrounge. You might try to find scrounging on my name, but I ain't worried about it. If Jesus Christ was talked about, who am I? Amen. And he was a
Amen.
Son of God. He was the living one. He was the sinless one. And guess what he did for me? And no man, no woman on this planet did what Jesus done for me. He died for me. Now, if you don't want to claim that Jesus died for you, guess where you're going? Guess where you're going when you die? You're going to hell. And the
That's
Bible is right, because it's in the scripture. Whoever believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Whoever believeth not shall be damn. In other words, you're condemned into hell, the pits of fire, not because you sin, but because you believe in disbelief. You don't believe that Jesus Christ is God Almighty in the flesh, and that he died on Calvary, went to hell, came back up out the grave with what? All power in heaven and earth in his hand to save your little puny soul. Your soul is so small.
That's right.
And so it's like a blade of grass. You're here today and gone today. It's like vapor coming from a teapot. Woo! And the wellest day of your life, you're sick enough to die. You could be walking down the road, just kill over. Woo! You could be dying in your sleep. You could die so easy. And a lot of people say, well, I'm going to be here for a long time. You don't know when you're going to die. And some people die before
right.
their time. Some people die before their time. Yeah, they're so smart,
Amen.
So wise, so educated. But people today are dying before their time. A lot of people say,
right.
Lord, took them. Lord don't take you all the time. Woo! The Lord didn't take you out on the street with a gun in your hand and you shooting at folks and the police come and shoot you. God didn't do that. God ain't even in that. Satan is in that because he comes to kill, rob, and destroy. And Jesus Christ came to give you what? Life. Life.
That's right.
More abundantly. And people going out and talk, blaming because people die. It's blaming it on God. It's their time. You better read your Bible. That's the problem, like the brother said. People ain't reading no Bible. They reading Playboy, Penthouse, Jet Magazine, Heavenly. they reading novels. They reading all kind of old fiction little books that they read and stick it up in the corner, and they get all that stuff up in them. And then when it comes down to the word of God, they're going around to my, I can't understand it. I don't know what he's talking about or who he's talking to. Well, the reason why, you don't want to know, because if you want to know Jesus Christ, let me tell you something. You'll look him up. You read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John if you want to know the life of Christ. If you want to know did he suffer or not. And let me tell you, the word of God is true. Ain't no lie in the word of God. It's true blue. It's true all the way through the word, from the book of Genesis to the book of Malachi. There's two books, the Old Testament books and the New Testament books. And, you know, really, I don't like to call the Old Testament old, because the word of God never goes old. What's the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament? The Old Testament was law. I want you to understand that. It was
Amen.
Law. The New Testament is grace. And there's a lot of difference between law and grace. Law says if you go around and you rape a woman in the law. It was just in the law. And the law was not given to the Gentiles until the fulfillment of Jesus Christ. Then the Gentiles had to come in. If they wanted to come in, they had to come in under the grace of God. The law was given to Moses and the people of Israel. The Gentile nation didn't know nothing about God. All the nations
Amen.
Of the world know nothing about God. And
right.
God was given and told Abraham, and God knew that Abraham was the only man up on the planet that he could use to bring forth a nation. And God didn't bring Abraham into the office by the color of his skin, not by how he walked, not by how he talked. Because before God called Abraham, Abraham was in idolatry. He didn't know where the true God was until God called Abraham. And guess what? Why did God choose Abraham? God chose Abraham because of his obedience. Come on, preacher. Obedience. He called Abraham and told him to get thee from among thy kindred and thy country, and I'm going to show you a land in which I'm
going to
be your son. And that land was Israel. Israel was given to Abraham way back there because God knew that he was going to raise up a nation for the world to witness to. And that nation was Israel. Abraham's faith. God adores faith. People who have faith in God, God adores it. He woos it. He loves it.
That's right.
Because faith is a substance of things not seen, huh? And the evidence that can be seen. In other words, without faith, without believing and trusting and relying on God Almighty, it's impossible to please God, for you must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder for those that diligently seek him. So let me tell you
something.
Right. You cannot come to God. You can't even make one step to God until you stretch out on faith and say, Lord, I don't see you. I don't know where you're at because I know you're everywhere. And since I can't see you, I can't believe you. But see, that's not faith. You got to believe without seeing. And if you trust in God without seeing and believe what he done for you, the Bible says you can't be saved. What's your work gloves? When you were born, you didn't start working. What's your work gloves? What's your work shoe? If people want to say that they can work their way to heaven, well, when you come out your cradle, you should have had a pair of gloves, a shovel.
Mm-hmm.
You should have had all the things that consisted of work, and you should have been working at 1 year old. If you think you're going to work your way to heaven, but you weren't thinking about work way to heaven, let me tell you, when you were crying the baby and your mama, your daddy took you to, oh, my God, listen, if they took you to Sunday school, they took you to Sunday school to learn about this God of all gods. And they took you to Sunday school to teach you about Jesus Christ and basically what he did on Calvary's cross.
Amen.
You did on Calvary's cross, you didn't have no shovel with you. You didn't have your gloves with you. You didn't have nothing. But when mama and daddy and the preachers told you, believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that God raised him from the dead, the Bible says you shall be saved. S-A-V-E.
Amen.
Completely saved, not 99 and 99.99999. No, it's 100% salvation. It's a perfect salvation. It's a complete salvation. It's a redemption salvation. You come to
Amen.
Jesus. You come to Jesus Christ by faith, nothing else. And the Bible says when faith activates, faith will change your life. Change your way, change your disposition. It'll make you a new creature with the faith that you have and no other name but Jesus Christ. Yet still, we are looking in the last days. And the last days that I'm talking about, that the brother referred to, and I'm going to give it right back to him. Amen. And I want to let you know that in the last days, this is what's going to happen before this year great Gog and Magog war come up. Amen. And it's on its way right now. It's in the making. And by being in the making, just to touch on it, and I'm going to get back to it, just on the making, Putin, he wants Ukraine. He wants Ukraine desecrated. He wants every Ukrainian out of Ukraine. He wants that part of the country. Why do he want that part of the country? That part of the country has a lot to do with the invasion that's getting ready to come down from the northern part of Moscow. He's getting ready to come down, and he needs that part of the country because there's going to be a vast army. Oh, y'all don't listen to me.
You're driving down
the road, and you're looking off to the left, or you're looking off to the right. You keep on looking off to the right and the left. You got your head down between the locks of your shoulder. I guarantee you, if you keep on doing that on the highway, you're going to hit a telephone pole. You're going to hit somebody else. You're going to run off the road. And that's what the world is doing. They're looking at everything else in the world today. They got their minds on everything else, but they don't have their minds on the cross. When you don't have your mind on the cross and the return of the Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation of your soul, I'll guarantee you there's a day coming when you're gonna hit more than a telephone pole. You're going to hit more than a ditch. And the world today is a ditch. You know why? Because they refuse to realize that the Bible is right. The Bible is right. Now, if I get it from the Bible, that don't mean I'm right. That means the Bible is right. I didn't say it. Jesus said. And if Jesus said and the prophet said, it's right. You can't change God's word. You can't bury God's word. You can't burn God's word. You can't hide God's word. His glory fills the whole house. What's going to happen in the last days before this God and may God come? This is in the book of Thessalonians. Says this, second chapter. It says this in the third verse. It says, let no man deceive you. Let no man put a whammy on you. Let no man fool you. Let no man put a whole lot of yang on you. He says, deceive you by any means. Don't accept nothing. Come on now. If it didn't come from the word of God, don't you accept it. And people accepted everything, and it's not coming from the word of God. And the brother brought up the false preachers and the quacks and the jackleg preachers. Amen. Scared to go through Genesis.
Amen.
Scared to death. They don't want to say nothing to the people about the Antichrist. They don't want to say nothing about the rapture. They don't want to say nothing about hell. Especially preachers don't preach hell no more. They don't preach hell no more. But they there's a whole lot of stuff going into hell, going into church now that comes from hell. Whole lot of fighting, whole lot of backbiting, whole lot
That's
of criticism,
right.
Whole lot of loose living, whole lot of fake what you call the hypocrites. Hypocrites are hopping all around in the house of God, calling themselves a child of God, and don't know nothing about the love of God. Don't know nothing about the love of God.
That's right.
They got certain people that they love and certain people that they don't love. They got their pet saint, and they got this saint over here. They don't like that saint. And you talking about going to heaven together? Oh, hell no.
Come on, doctor.
No. You ain't going to heaven. You're going to hell because that's what's going to be down there in hell. Confusion and fighting and cussing and lying and cheating and backbiting and whoremongering. Don't you think some, oh my God, although hell's going to be hot, don't you think some people going to have their mind on sex? But the more they have their mind on sex, the hotter it's going to get. Because
That's
a
right.
lot of people going to hell through sex escapades. A lot of preachers going to hell on sex escapades. Women
right.
are flirting around with the preachers and the deacons and the brothers and the sisters. Young women. Oh, talking about, whoa, man, pastor, you know, you all right at home? Oh, my God, y'all don't know. I mean, people don't know what's going on in there. And the people
that's right.
doing it ain't going to be able to you. The preachers ain't going to get behind the pulpit and say, look, I have committed adultery, and I'm going to repent now. They ain't going to tell you that. They're going to tell you, God will forgive you. And guarantee you, God will forgive you. But you practicing and practicing and practicing and practicing and don't get chastised. Don't get corrected. Don't get taken to the woodshed. Oh, come on now. You better read your Bible.
Amen.
The Bible says when a man don't suffer chastisement and call himself a Christian and taking communion and doing wrong and take communion and don't get chastisement, he said chastisement come up on those that know God. And if you know God, amen, and you ain't living right, God said, I'll chastise you. For any man that don't suffer chastisement is no longer a son. He's a bastard. Uh-oh.
Amen.
I ain't say no bad word because there's two kind of bastards. There's the spiritual bastard, and then there's a physical bastard. When a child was born not knowing his father, that's a physical bastard. That does not stop that baby from being born, and that don't stop that baby from getting saved when he gets the age of accountability. A child
that's
born
right.
out of wedlock, he's still qualified to go to heaven if he repents of his sin when he get old enough to know right from wrong. Well, those people say, well, you born and don't know your father. Can you go to heaven? You absolutely I can go to heaven. Because if I can go to heaven by the new birth through Jesus Christ, when Jesus Christ, listen to me, when Jesus Christ saved my soul, I no longer am a bastard spiritually. because I have a heavenly Father. I have a divine. I have a Father that knows me, and I know him. And anytime I get out of line in my Christian walk with Christ, God chastising me. Come on, we talk about eternal security. That's how God corrects his children. They're saved, but they're having problems. They're still fooling around because the flesh didn't go away. The flesh is still there. You're born with it, you're going to die with it, and you're going to live with it. The only way that you can come to victory over flesh is through the Spirit of the living God. God has to be in you through the Son of the living God. Oh, my God, that was shed on Calvary's cross. The cross. Brother T.D. Jakes, come on with the cross. Come on, Joel Osteen. Quit preaching that stuff you talking about. More motivation speeches and going around talking about being motivated and God loves us all. Yes, he loves us all, but there's one thing God don't love. He ain't never fell in love with it and ain't never going to be in love with it, and that's S-I-N, sin. He hates sin. He detests sin. And the Bible says we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No man on this planet can walk around and say that I don't sin. Yes, you have. I can say it right now, and I don't focus on it. But I said, if I sin, Lord, I'm going to confess my sin because he's faithful just to forgive me of my sin and cleanse me, what? And sanctify me, what? By the blood of Jesus Christ. Listen to what it says there. It says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come. What? The day, what day? The day of the rapture. That day that Christ is going to rapture the church. But before the rapture, there shall come what? Let's see what it says. Listen what it says.
Amen.
It says, except that you have fallen away first. Fallen away from what? Fallen away from the Christian principles of the Word of God. And Christian is in the Bible. In three places, at Antioch, they was first called Christian. Woo! Agrippa said, hey, Paul, you preach so you're powerful. Boy, you almost persuaded me to be a Christian. And Paul could preach, brother. That boy can burn up or something. He preached one time so long that a man was up in the balcony and he went to sleep and broke his neck, and Paul went down there and touched him and said, get up. Let's finish the sermon. Come on now. That man
could
brag on preachers and, he really spoke. If he ain't talking about the blood of Jesus Christ, if he ain't talking about redemption and sanctification, if he ain't talking about justification, if he ain't talking about how to live and how to walk and how to talk and how to treat people, if he's talking this old weak Christian love that some people got and don't really love their fellow man like they love God, because the Bible said if a man say he love God, oh my God, listen, if a man say he love God and hate his brother, and you got a lot of haters in the church that love call themselves brothers of God, but they hate their brother. They hate what they got. They hate if they're spiritually inclined and singing, they hate, she thinks she's something. Oh, look at her. She thinks she's so cute. And talking about each other and low-cutting each other. The love of God cannot abound. The Bible said if you see your brother in need, your brother, the Christian brother, the brother that is going to church with you, if you see your brother in need, instead of your bowels of compassion, how good is the love of God? If you see somebody on the street that needs a help, need a lunch, nowadays these guys, I see them on the streets, they be asking for money.
Mm-hmm.
I don't give them. I give them a couple of dollars. Amen. Because I know he needed whatever he got to do with it. I don't know if he's going to go get smoke, go get a joint, or whatever. I give him the change. I don't give him a whole lot. But I don't like to see him like that. I don't like to see a brother like no kind of brother. I don't care if he's white or black, yellow, green, pretty, ugly.
Right.
Amen. God has no respect to a person. And we got so many church folks. They say, well, I don't like white people. Well, good God Almighty, what kind of salvation you got? Woo, God loves your ugly son. Hey, man, he loves you so much. Who you think you are? You're better than that white person. That white person better than you. And I know you don't went through slavery, and, your ancestor went through slavery, but look, man, that's over with. Woo! Amen. We ain't living in slavery now. If we living in slavery now, we living in the slave of sin, because man is bound, and the devil is your master. And if you're obeying Lucifer, and if you're doing the works of Satan and doing what he asks you to do, you're a slave to the devil. Amen.
That's right.
But if you fight, woo, you're free to love those that persecute you and lie against you and talk all evil against you. You're free to praise God wherever you want to praise him. Woo! If you're free, you can say, I'm free at last, I'm free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. Free from what? Free from sin, death, hell, and the grave. And the world today is talking about, whoa, man, I don't need that. I don't want that. I don't want to be free from that. I want to be free from doing it. I want to do what I want to do. This is my life I got to live. No, it's not your life. It's God's life. And God is not pleased the way you're living and taking his life, slandering his name, and lying to people and playing a hypocrite. God said, I don't like that. I died on the cross for that. I suffer for that. You don't have to do that, but I'm a little weak. I don't care how weak you are. Amen. The weakest point of your life, you can become strong. Listen to what it says. I'm going to give it over to the brother. It says, there shall come a falling away first, and that man of sin, that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. 5 more minutes. I'm going to give it to the Dr. Tim. The man of sin. The man of sin is the Antichrist.
That's right.
The man of sin. That's the devil's masterpiece. The devil's instrument that he's going to use pretty soon to deceive the world and believe that he's Christ in the flesh. He will come to this earth. And by the way, he's on the earth right now. He's alive right now. If the Antichrist is not born, and if he's not full grown, and he's at the age of 13, buddy, the rapture can't occur. Y'all hear me?
Mm-hmm.
I said the rapture can't occur if he's 13 years old, if he's 15 years old, if he's 16 years old, 17 years old, 18 years old. The rapture cannot occur. If he's 25, he can't occur. If he's 30, he can't, can't occur. If he's 40, he can't occur. If he's 50, 50 years. 50 years is a good number for a man to mature and be a man on the planet. Right now, he's alive, and he's waiting for what? He's waiting for the time of the rapture. And the rapture is going to happen very soon.
That's right.
If we got to wait another 20 years, you can forget it. If you think you got another 10 years, you can almost forget it. You need to prepare to meet Jesus Christ right now, because when the rapture occurs, it's going to be like a twinkling of an eye in a moment.
Flash
of light. A light travels 186,000 miles a second. That means I can go around the world. I've gone around the world about 3 times and not even move my seat right now. In other words, I won't have time enough to move out of my seat. I'll be back 186,000 miles a second. When the rapture comes, it will be so fast and so swift. My clothes will be still standing up, and I'll be gone to heaven. My God. The grave will flap open in a moment of a twinkling of an eye. And folks will say, what happened? Some people won't know it until 3 days later, 4 days later. Some people won't even pay any attention to it. But those that have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ saying down the last 2,000 years that there is a rapture of the church, when they hear it, they say, something done happened, because people missing from the planet. And the Spirit of God leaves in America, in China, in Russia, there's going to be a great vacuum. And the Lord said, I will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of archangels, and the dead in Christ shall rise, and we that remain alive shall be called up to meet the Lord in the air. Then the man and he is found in the country of Spain. He will be coming from Spain. He's been quiet for the last 53 years, he's been very quiet, but he's now the king of Spain. He will come out of one of the 10 European common markets. And the 10 common markets is known as NATO. Oh, come on, preacher. Tell me something, preacher. Tell the congregation the Antichrist is here. And when he comes, if you're not saved, you're going to be left here. And if you're left here, if you don't know the scripture, if you don't know the word, you're going to believe that this man is truly Jesus Christ. And the world is saying he will deceive the world. He's going to trick the world. The greatest deception, that ever hit the planet was when the Antichrist comes here and he's going to fool majority of the world, and the world will believe, including the Jews, will believe that this man is actually Jesus Christ, and he's not Jesus Christ. He will be the Antichrist until he becomes the beast in the middle of the tribulation. And he will what? He will throw his iron fist down. And he will bring in, guess what? He will bring in the mark of the beast. And the world today is getting a setup. And this war that's coming up, Gog and Magog, the third world war, is going to come down from the north. And when the Antichrist is, he's going to have confrontation with the Eastern King of China. He's going to have a controversy with Russia. He's going to have all kinds of wars going to break out. Iran and Iraq is going to try to make an attack upon Jerusalem. And the whole world will go into a global war. Come on, y'all. Listen to what I'm saying. It's in the book. You don't have to try to stick your head in a doorknob keyhole and try to hide from it. It's in the book.
That's right.
It's coming from the book. And the world is saying, we don't need the Bible. The Bible is not evidence of the modern day. Well, let me tell you, the Bible is way ahead of you. Amen. The Bible is 6,000 years ahead of mankind. Man is way back. And people today think the Bible is a discredited book. They say it's the best read book. If it's the best read book, how come people ain't reading it? Come on, no. You got to read the book. You got to get down on your knees and ask the Lord, show me. I can't understand what that preacher's talking about. He ain't talking about salvation. He's talking about damnation. He's talking about I can go to heaven if I just good. And if I don't smoke, don't drink, don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal. And I go to church every Sunday. And I play golf and I play marbles and I don't play no games. I don't gamble. You cannot do all that. That don't give you no salvation because salvation is not for sale. You can't buy it.
Amen.
You got to say, Lord, let me meet your son. And Jesus Christ said, if you've known me, you should have known my father. He said, I'm in the Father. The Father is me. He said, you seen me. You seen God already in the flesh. And when you bow down to me, now if Jesus Christ wasn't God, I ain't got no business bowing down to Jesus Christ. Come on, y'all. And the world today is bowing down to every other God but Jesus Christ. And he is God. He's the beginning and the end. He's the first and the last. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's a high power. He's a fortune. He's a shepherd. He's a lily of the valley. He's a bright and morning star. He's the Almighty God. He's the everlasting Father. He's the counsel, good God Almighty. He's a shepherd that knows his sheep. He's the one of all the ones. He's eternity. He came from nowhere. And I'm trying to look for him. God said, why are you looking for me? I'm everywhere. I'm all around you. And move. He said, I move and have my beings in him. I walk with it. I talk with it. I sleep with it. Good God Almighty. I can't do nothing without him. And the world today, church folks are living, but they're living without God in their life. Oh, they're living. They say God. They say Jesus. But they ain't living for him.
That's
they
right.
got their minds. But when this Antichrist comes, and I'll give it to the brother, when the Antichrist comes, and he won't come until the rapture of the church, and when the rapture of the church comes, then if I get to come back, I'll tell you when Gog and Magog war will happen. Gog and Magog war will happen after the rapture of the church. The church will not be here at the time that this army of the world come down upon Jerusalem. The Antichrist will be here. But the church won't be here because the Antichrist and the church has nothing in common. I ain't got nothing to say to the Antichrist, but one thing, you're on your way to hell.
That's it.
So when the church leaves, the church will be at the judgment seat of Christ. And there we will be there with the Lord for 7 years. And here on earth will be the time of judgment will fall. And Gog and Magog, between now and between the months of September and October, Gog and Magog will have their full army ready to move up on Israel. And in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, church is gone. And the will say, yeah, this is what we want. We're tired of Trump. We're tired of Biden. We're tired of Obama. We're tired of the government. We want a man that's going to do what he said he's going to do. Falsehood. And the world will fall into the 70th week spoken by Daniel the prophet. Brother, go ahead and walk with it.
Amen, Doctor. That was some hard stuff, brother. Amen. All glory be to the Most High. Amen. We don't want no glory, amen, about us. Amen. We are here to deliver and to give you the word. Amen. We are here to preach and teach salvation because that's what we want. We want as many people, souls, to be saved and to enter into the kingdom of heaven. This is why we study, we read, we pray, we rightly divide the word because we desire nothing more, amen, than for men and women to be saved. Amen. We want as many people to enter into the kingdom of heaven. We do not want your soul to be lost. Amen. Amen. With that being said, we're going to go ahead and jump right on into it. And I do apologize, amen, that I didn't say a prayer earlier.
Yeah.
Amen.
Did
you pray?
Yeah, I prayed. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Good. Okay, forgive me. Okay, amen. Good. Okay, amen. I just want to make sure I know that I was going for a while. Amen. I know I turned it over to you. Amen.
Yeah.
So all glory be to the Most High. Amen. So I want to talk about what's soon to take place. Amen. We are getting you ready for the return of Christ. And I know this week when I came back on Wednesday, I was supposed to be finishing up, amen, let me make a bookmark before I get into it. I was supposed to be finishing up what we should be doing now. How should we live? Amen. I gave you some scriptures. Amen. We talked about godliness. We talked about sincerity. Amen. So we just want you to be prepared for the return of Christ. Amen. Because you should be looking. Amen. If someone said that I'm coming to pick you up, amen, we're going to go traveling. We're going to go somewhere. Amen. You're going to get your bags ready. You have your bags packed. Amen. You'll be waiting. Now, I don't know when I'm coming, but I'm coming. I need you to be watching for me when I show up. Amen. But I'm coming soon. Amen. So I'm going to have all my stuff ready and prepared for when this person comes. So we just want you to be watchful. So before, I'm just going to share a few scriptures with you, and then I'm going to get back into this gathering together of the saints and, amen, the rapture, amen, which is the same thing. Amen. So go over to Matthew, the 24th chapter, and we're going to take a look at verse 42. Matthew, the 24th chapter, verse 42. Let's see what it says.
All right.
It says, "Watch, therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord do come." This is Christ referring to himself. We don't know when Christ is going to return. Amen?
That's right.
Now, are we aware of the times and the seasons? Yes. Paul told us over in Thessalonians that he said, the times and seasons I need not write unto you. Amen. Why? Because you're going to heaven. You won't have to worry about the tribulation. But we believe that Christ is going to show up before the tribulation. So that means that God wanted us, so if he said to watch, That means that you should have an idea when the time is what? Getting close. Do we know when he's coming? No, we don't know exactly the day or the hour, but we believe, amen, it's going to be in 2022. Amen. At the latest, possibly 2023, but I don't see it taking that long. I really don't. Amen. I believe this year is well possibly the year of our Lord and Savior. Amen. That's just what I believe. Amen. And like I said before, no one's trying to predict when Christ come. Amen. Could he come back 100 years? He could. Could he come back in 10 years? He could. But because of the things that are going on in the world, and because majority of the world, is, especially the church, is not watching, amen, this is not a – because it shocked me, brother. I'm going to tell you right now, when this stuff started happening in 2020, the first thing that really got me, that set me off on that we may be close to the return of Christ, is that mandate for the entire world to wear masks. I was like, whoa. That sounds like the 666 mandate, when the Antichrist is going to come on the scene and he's going to mandate that everyone get the mark of the beast. That's what got me buzzing. I was like, man. I said, well, could it be that we are closer to the return of Christ, amen, than what we thought? And then when they start saying, oh, well, everybody got to start wearing the shot. I still see signs in stores now. I saw one today. I was in the store. It said something about if you are fully vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask. But if you're not vaccinated, you have to wear a mask. And I'm just like, wow, they're still going on. So they're not stopping. The agenda has not stopped. Satan has his people in place. Amen. They're still pushing this thing that you ought to get vaccinated. Now, if you're vaccinated, I'm not knocking you. Amen. But I just feel some type of way about it. Amen. That's just me. Amen. I've had family members that are very near and dear to me to have a conversation with me. They feel like I need it. Amen. And these are people in the church. Amen. But, amen, like I told them, I said, well, you know what? I don't really judge nobody if you got it. Amen. I just don't need to take something that I have no, that the doctors and the scientists have already said. It takes years. I didn't know they say it actually takes 10 years to make a vaccination. And that's what they say. I'm not for certain. I don't work in the medical field. I don't proclaim to be a medical person or a surgeon. I'm just telling what they were saying. Amen. And so if people are taking the shot and still dying, and my brother was saying that he had like 3 or 4 friends that took the shot, and within a week or two they were dead. So I said, well, I don't think I need to take the shot. Amen. That's just my thought. Amen. I, you know, if you are still leaving this world after taking the shot, then I didn't see the point of the purpose of taking the shot. See, the point of using something or doing something is to prevent something from happening. See, you get car insurance because when you need the car insurance, it's going to work. It ain't no maybe it's going to work. It ain't no but possibly going to work. No. If I pay car insurance and I have an accident, I expect my car insurance to uphold their end of the deal, because if I miss a payment, oh, man. But if I'm upholding my end of the bargain, I expect for them to uphold their end of the bargain. It's kind of like life insurance. I used to sell life insurance a long time. I've never seen nobody buy life insurance when they die, the life insurance company. You know what? You pay 40, 50 years on this policy. Ms. Johnson, your husband paid on this, but we're not going to be able to honor that death benefit. I've never heard our company do that. If they paid that death benefit on time, and I think some companies are lenient to, like, you can miss a payment or something like that. But if you had it for many years, they're going to pay that. They're going to honor that death benefit. That just makes sense to me. So if you are taking a shot, in my opinion, you should not be dying, especially not after you took the shot. I can see maybe a year or two down the line. But, man, I'm talking about folks within a week or two. Some folks, in most cases, 2 or 3 days. Some folks right after they die. I said, I'm not interested in that. But you do what you want. I'm not judging. Amen. But I'm just saying. What I'm saying to you is, Paul said, of the signs, the times and seasons. We believe that because the times we are in, and the season that we're in, that Christ is very close to returning.
And close,
what we
see
actually happening in the world is very close to a lot of symbolic things in the language that's in Revelation, eschatology.
Yes, sir.
That's what we're saying.
Yes, sir.
And for those of us who do study Revelation and do study eschatology, there's a lot of things that is happening at one time. And I'm talking about right back to back, right, brother? It's happening back to back. I'm like, it's not playing. It ain't like 2 or 3 years or something. No, this stuff is happening back to back. We've been talking about the mass mandate, hide mirrors, the 666. We've been talking about the war before it even jumped off. We've been talking about Russia and China before this war jumped off. We've also talked about how Russia has allies in the background. We see those allies right now today just unfolding before our very eyes. The Arab nations, the African nations. And Putin, if you watch it, he's been in communication with China, the Arab nations, and the African nations. I said, man, it's like his lineup is lining up.
Lining up.
But the rest of the world is blind to it because they're not using it. They're because the people of this world have been duped by Satan, been tricked by Satan. The pastors are not talking about it. Your big-time pastors are not warning your leaders and say, hey, man, this is Bible prophecy. This man is not going to stop doing what he's doing. He's going to continue to do what he's doing because he's out there in the agenda. Like the brother said, he's clearing a pathway, not just for himself, but for mainly for themselves, but also the allies are going to play a role. But he's trying to get to Israel.
Come on, preacher.
Lord have mercy. Amen.
Come on, preacher.
I'm just saying, folks, we're just stating the obvious. Let's just say that. Amen. So continue to follow. Go over to Luke. The 12th chapter.
All right.
Again, that's the book of Luke, the 12th chapter. Amen. We're telling you how to live. We're telling you what we're supposed to be doing now. Now, I just showed you in Matthew, the 24th chapter, verse 42. Christ himself said we are to watch, right? That's what Christ said, right? Amen. He said to watch. Matthew, 24th chapter, verse 42. He said to watch. This is what we're supposed to be doing right now as a church. We need to be watching for Christ's return, amen, to get the church, so we'll know the hour, see? So you'll know what hour the Lord do come. Now, here's the thing. Amen. I'm going to try to spend too much time because I want to give it back over to the brother so he can get some before we out of here. I want him to close out, and if you don't mind, if you open up the doors of church for salvation, and we want you to be saved. We don't want nobody to miss the, as the Old Testament said, my dad used to say, the glory-bound train. We don't want you to miss the train. When the trumpets sound, we want you to go back to heaven with us, amen. We want you to be there with us in heaven, amen. But amen. So it says, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour the Lord do come. But amen. But we have to watch. Amen. We have to be looking. In other words, there's a way for us to live knowing that his return is what? Soon. This is what he's saying. I'm returning soon. This is what manner of man or woman you should be. Amen. All right. Luke, the 12th chapter. Let's go back over to Luke. Luke, the 12th chapter, verses 42 and 43. There we go. Luke, 12th chapter, verses 42 and 43. It says, and the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward? See, there you go. This is how we should live. We should be faithful and wise. What do you get wisdom from? Amen. You have to ask God for it. Amen. You ask God for it. Amen. Read and study your Bible. Amen. God will reveal things to you through the Holy Spirit, and you got to act upon it. You got to make wise decisions based on the knowledge that God has imparted to you. Amen. Spiritually. That we have to be what? Wise. It says,
all right,
whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season. So you're going to be blessed when God returns. We are to be living our lives for God. When he returns, he's going to bless us. We talked about the rewards that we're going to reap. Amen. Don't focus so much on worldly rewards. focus on spiritual rewards, that when Christ come, he's going to be able to bless you and say, here is your portion. Amen. Amen. According to your works. Amen. See, that's where your works come in. Your works come in when you're for your rewards, not your salvation. You're already, he died 2,000 years ago on the cross for us. Now watch what verse 43 says. It says, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Don't get caught slipping out here. Don't be out here cutting up like some of these folks. Go ahead and be ready. Study your Bible. That shows love. Amen. Walk in love and walk in the Spirit.
Come on.
Amen.
Come on.
So God can bless you. I'm going to stop right there. I got some more scriptures. I'm going to share with you, but I'm going to have to do it in a little at a time.
Yes, Lord. Amen. We got about 15 minutes, brother. I'm going to try to split this up real quick and give it back to you. I want to share much of you. I've shared it, and I want to share it. I want to be even, Stephen, but I do want to let the people know there's an opportunity for you to be saved right now, those that are listening to me, those that are listening to Brother Tim. We're coming from the Word of God. Jesus Christ is coming back. Oh, yes, he is. I've been preaching, I told you before, for 57 years, this same message for 57 years. Brother Tim has been preaching for 22 years. The same message. You're saved by faith through grace, not of works, lest any man should boast. I ain't got nothing to boast about, nothing. I boast, have anything to boast, because the works that I am doing it, I'm doing it through Jesus Christ. You hear what I said? I'm doing it through Jesus Christ. So I have nothing to boast of. Whenever people boast about themselves, they're boasting what they've done. You see, if you're doing it for Christ, there's no boast. Why? Because the Spirit of God, amen, is the Spirit of God. It ain't out there straining or anything. You tell them exactly what the Spirit of God says. And the Bible says, whosoever believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Apostle Paul said, if you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, God's son, the one that died on Calvary's cross and became sin, who knew no sin, he took the sins of the world. And sin is devastating. Sin is cruel. Sin is sneaky. Sin is damnation. And God's wrath is upon those that don't know him as their personal Savior. Not because of their sin, but because they will not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for their salvation through the blood of the cross. There are many religions in the world today, over 3,000 different kinds of religion, that refuse to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. You hear what I say? Over 3,000 different kinds of religion who will not confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that he is what? God Almighty. God all by himself. God self-existent one. God of gods and Lord of lords. And this God that I'm talking about became a man, born of a Virgin Mary, wrapped in swaddling clothes, stayed on the earth for 33.5 years, suffered, died, crucified, mutilated, denied, talked about, slain on the tree like a dumb lamb, and opened not his mouth, and paid the whole penalty of sin of mankind, that through him, man can come to him through Jesus Christ, and only Jesus Christ can save the soul. And
amen.
I don't want to see nobody. My prayer, and I tell you, I wish everybody could get saved. I do. But I know everybody ain't going to get saved. Everybody don't want to be saved. And if you don't want to be, I can't beat you across your head and your neck and tie you up and string you upside down and say, now, come on, accept Christ. Oh, you're going to die. I can't do that. No, Jesus Christ didn't do that, and he could have did it. But he took your place took my place, took all my sins, my little sins, my big sins, my lying sins, my lustful sins.
Amen.
Now, he nailed it. Don't you understand? I was a fornicator. And guess what? He nailed it to the cross. A liar. He nailed it to the cross. A backbiter. He nailed it to the cross. He nailed all that crap and became a sinner. And it cost him his death. It killed him. So the whole creation, we ain't nothing but a bunch of murderers. We killed the Son of God. It wasn't only the Jews that said kill him. It was the whole world. And the world today don't think nothing of it. They go, oh, so what? So what, Jesus died? What's the big deal? What is it all about? Man, shoot. You know, if I accept him, you know, I won't be able to do nothing. Well, that's a lying wonder. You'll be able to do more for God, because only what you do for Christ is going to stand. And if he's not done through him, through the Holy Spirit, it ain't going to count. So you got to be saved. And if you're not saved, you're going to end up in the lowest part of the earth, a place called hell. It don't have no address. It's hot. It's long. It's forever. You have five things you have to deal with in hell.
That's right.
Eyesight. You can see in hell. It's going to be pitch black, but you're going to see. No, because, you know, you're going to see, oh, my God, you're going to see what the devil look like because you served him. You're going to see what the angels look like. You're going to see your friends that you parted with like. You're going to know them in hell. You're going to know. Oh, you know, a sinner knows a sinner. A liar knows a liar. A crook knows a crook. Come on, y'all.
That's right.
And two crooks can get along real good. A prostitute and another prostitute get along real good. Huh? And in hell, you're going to be exactly what you are if you die in your sin. You're going to have an indestructible body. You're going to be able to hear in hell. You're going to be able to talk in hell. Now, I know it's going to be a lot of gas in the teeth. It'll be going, ow, ow. You'll be saying all kind of words and won't be able to come out, but you'll be talking. You'll be
right.
Listening in hell. And most of all, you will remember. You're going to remember where you used to be. And you're going to remember where you could be, where you could be, but you rejected what? You rejected the sacrifice. You rejected Jesus Christ. You rejected the one that atoned for your sins to wash you and sanctify your soul, and you refused it, and your soul is lost forever.
Mm.
Don't be afraid. Brother, open that altar up again. Open that altar up again. Go ahead and walk. And let your people know.
Amen.
We love you out there. Go ahead.
Amen. Can you hear me, doctor?
Yeah, I got you. I got you.
Amen. Amen. My phone, I don't know what happened. It cut off for some reason. Amen. But all glory be to God. Amen. I was able to get me back in. Amen.
Okay.
So, amen. So we're going to go ahead and open up the doors of the church. Amen. I'll continue what I was saying about Luke, the 12th chapter, verse 42 and 43. We'll pick it up on tomorrow. We'll be back on the air. Sunday, 4 p.m. Central Time. And I believe it's 5 p.m. East Coast Time. Amen. We'll be back on the air.
Uh-huh.
Is that right? 5 o'clock your time?
That's right.
Yeah, amen. All right. Amen. I want to talk about real quick before I open the doors of the church, how much time I got left. 6 more minutes. I want to talk about the mystery. Amen. I'm going to save the mystery for tomorrow. Amen. But I'm going to introduce it tonight. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. Let's go there real quick. Amen. I know I've mentioned this before. I'm going to mention it again because this is what we're looking for, the mystery. And you say, well, what's the mystery? The mystery was there was a time period in the history of man that was unaccounted for, that they didn't know when it was going to happen. And that was the return of Christ, which Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verses 51 and 52. But it starts in verse 51 of 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. The mystery was called mysterion in the Greek. And what it meant was a silent. It was a mystery. It was a secret. And the secret was revealed to who? Those that who actually receive, oh, my gosh. Man, y'all better hear what I'm saying. The secret was revealed to those who actually received salvation, that they knew something was up. And this is why we're preaching this message. That's why we're showing you all these scriptures, all this talk that we're talking about, with all this stuff about Russia, the pandemic, all this stuff. And I said this stuff is continuously happening. I don't know if y'all heard me. I don't know if I was off the air, but they told me I was off the air. But what I'm saying to you is, this is the mystery that Paul prophesied nearly 2,000 years ago. Many years ago, Paul wrote this. We are witnessing this great mystery that's about to hit the planet. The mystery was that the church was going to disappear, amen, like the brother said,
amen, brother,
before Gog and Magog, before the Antichrist can come on the scene. The Holy Spirit is going to still be here, because he has to, because God's Spirit is everywhere. So God's Spirit is not going to never leave the world. He said, I'll never what? Leave you nor forsake. His Spirit ain't leaving. He's just going to step back and allow the Antichrist and Lucifer to do their thing on the planet for seven. Now, they got 7 years to do their thing, and they're going to take it out on the unrighteous, those that have rejected Christ. The church will be gone. So that's the mystery. The mystery is going to be two parties, twofold in the church. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and then Paul said those that remain alive shall be caught up. So there's going to be two parties in the gathering together, which is widely known as the rapture. That's those two parties, the dead in Christ and the believers that are alive on the earth at the time that the trumpet shall sound.
Come
and
on, preacher.
Boy, let me tell you, nobody's paying attention. You got folks just going to church blind. They ain't picking up the Bible. They're just going to church religiously. And this great mystery is about to miss them. But those of us that are listening, that have heard, oh, wait a minute, the pastor, these men are talking about the great mystery, the mysterion, the silence, the secret. This secret that is a secret is not hidden. We are revealing this secret to those of you who are willing to listen. But to those who are not listening, they're going to miss out. And they're going to miss the reward that Christ has for those that's going to love his appearance. The Bible says the crown of rejoicing for loving the appearance of Christ. No, we're going to see Christ. Like the Bible said, we're going to actually get to see Christ. Man, that's going to be a sight to see. Oh,
a sight
God,
to
God,
see.
I pray that you all don't miss it. If you're listening to this radio station, it ain't no reason for you to miss this. Man, I'm excited about it. Man, we got nothing but excitement and joy to be about Christ coming back to get to church. It's not a sad time. That's a joyous time. The world is sad. We're not sad. It's a joyous time for us. We get to go back to be with our Lord and Savior. Peace, rest, man, joy. Man, we're going to be celebrating. We're going to be going off as saints being saved. And I want to show you real quick before we close it out. Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10. All you have to do to be saved, just to get into heaven, I'm going to read it to you. Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10. Paul wrote it. He said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Yahshua, and shalt believe in thine heart that Yahweh hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And that's it. That's all you got to do. If you do that right now, you don't have to go to church like the brother said. You ain't got to go to church. You ain't got to wait for nobody to slap you over the head or slap you in the face with no oil. You know, oh, you got to wait for the pastor. Oh, you got to wait till you. No, no. You can